The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to the recap, the whole draft. It's done. We've killed it.
We did it.
Inarticulate cheese noises. Let's go.
So we should, because people are going to listen from it, listen to this from the top down, we should talk about the first 2 days too. So Let's start with that.
Yep.
Quay Walker got drafted 22nd overall. I feel like we're pretty much okay with that pick at this point. I know we should
be more than okay with that pick. It's a hell of a linebacker.
Mm-hmm. I loved him, but the instant reaction, which was predictable, was just like, that's not a receiver, even though, you know, all the receivers went, like, again, Dotson went 16th, right?
That still blows my mind.
Still don't get it. They drafted Devontae White, the interior defensive lineman out of Georgia, with the 28th overall pick. We all like the player. The off-field stuff isn't great, but he's probably going to end up starting for the team even in nickel sets. He's probably going to out-snap probably even Dean Lowry at this point in this upcoming year. And it's good for them to get defensive line depth. Tex and I talked about this all season in the post-game recaps. Only having five guys suited up for game day was not a winning plan, and it seems like they've addressed the defensive line at least multiple times in this draft.
It's like they also got a guy that's not just a guy. It was usually just like Kenny Clark and a few guys. Like Dean Lowry had a pretty good year, all things considered, but no one else that was like an actual game changer on the line. So coming away with a guy like
freak Devontae athlete.
Coming away with a guy like Devontae Wyatt on the field should be considered a huge win, because the combination of him and Kenny is going to be pretty terrifying for offensive linemen. You know, you're going to face, if you face San Francisco's interior offensive line again, you thought Kenny Clark gave them trouble. Now imagine they have another guy they got to deal with.
He's easily the best real three tech the Packers have had since Mike Daniels.
For sure.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. I don't think, and it's not close.
Yeah. I mean, he's given you more than Kingsley gave you for sure. Obviously, round two, if you're a Packers fan, you've heard about it already. Package 2 second round picks to move all the way up to 34th overall with the Minnesota Vikings, which not only is it a gut wrench that they gave up so much in a trade. I understand the player. I understand the clip of Brian Gutekunst saying, you don't get it. I want the player that's floating around. I understand that. They still gave up a little bit too much, and they gave it a little bit too much to a division rival, which is a bummer. I think we were all cool with the player. We had talked about it in like the Twitter spaces before day two, that if he was there in the 50s, we would have taken him. But to give up, you know, 2 second round picks, you're spending on him. We did the math, and it was what, a second round pick and Devontae Adams for Quay Walker and Christian Watson is essentially what the trade amounts to.
Yep. Half of Christian Watson.
But you gave the second round pick.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You gave the second round pick in Devontae.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, right? It's we were perfectly fine with the player without the move up. But the board, clearly based on everything that everyone was saying, is there's no way that Watson would have been there in the 50s, given the fact that there were a bunch of other receivers that did go in that second round in those intervening picks. It's pretty clear that he was going to go somewhere fairly early in that second round. So If they wanted him, they had to get up there, and it sounded like they wanted to get up there to 32 to Minnesota, because they had that pick as well. Tried to make that move, and the reporting, right, was that Minnesota said, no, we don't want you to have the opportunity to use a fifth year option on a wide receiver. So no, we're going to make you do it at 34 instead.
And to their credit, they knew that they had to move. I mean, there wasn't that many outside of Alec Pierce. I don't know if there was a wide receiver for them to take, and who knows if Alec Pierce would have been there if they would have sat pretty and had a team, you know, another team hop ahead of them. We had talked to Eric Galco, who now runs the Shrine Game, or Shrine Bowl, sorry, they changed the name, in our Twitter spaces today. And he was saying, you know, there's another team that traded back and wanted to get a guy like Tyquan Thornton. Like, they assumed that a guy like that would still be available in the second round. And then they got jumped by the Patriots. And we kind of put two and two together. It's probably the Colts who ended up taking Alec Pierce in the spot that the Packers drafted, right? So, like, it seems like everyone thought the run on wide receivers was probably going to end in the first round. And then you started seeing guys like John Mechie fly off the board super early in the second. And you're like, okay, this isn't stopping anytime soon.
Acme Packing Company has been getting hammered in the comments. Just Christian Watson. And it's like, you know, feels, I keep thinking to myself, like, are we just being like super negative about it? And I think it comes off that way because there are other people in the Packers space that are like, this is the greatest pick that they have ever made.
He's fine. The player is fine. It's the trade.
Yeah. It's the trade that's annoying.
And yeah, you have to divorce the process from the player. We talked about AJ Dillon a little bit the other day and how he's a great player and we love having him on the team, but still using a second round pick on that was still not a great process. You can hit on bad processes sometimes. It does happen. But
I mean, Gary was another one. They had just paid two edge rushers and they spent like the 12th overall pick for the third edge rusher, and it didn't pan out until he didn't start until year three. And now it's great.
Even that one, like the process, I don't mind. I don't mind taking a ridiculously athletic edge rusher in the top 15. Right. It's a different story when, you know, when you're taking a running back in the second round, or in this case, the numbers on the trade. That's kind of what boils down to for me too, is not only did they make that big trade up and trade the two second round picks, but they also lost a lot of value in that trade. And that was, as much as anything, what I was so frustrated about, was just the way the trade broke out too.
I think it's a testament to the current wide receiver market. You know, we're seeing all of these wide receivers make huge money and these teams trying to get rid of the guys with pending contracts because they want talented receivers on cheaper deals. So the draft value on these receivers is becoming enormous. Like you said, John Mechie should not have been a second round pick, like full stop to me.
Teams are trading first round picks to pay Hollywood Brown on his next contract. AJ Brown can't get a deal done with Titans. Like, it's crazy. Last pick in the third round was Sean Ryan, the left tackle out of UCLA. They talked about him, you know, potentially playing inside, playing outside. The Packers are the Packers, so they're going to move these guys around anyway. Like, anything less than snapping the ball wouldn't surprise me, right? For this guy. He's 21 years old, had 3 years starting left tackle at UCLA. I actually ended up watching just one game of film before I passed out last night. Pretty cool guy. I was watching him against LSU. They were doing a bunch of funky things, doing a bunch of like the swinging gate stuff, that tricky dicky stuff, so that they could beat the Tigers. I'm sure they spent a lot of time on that to win that one single game and then get smacked into he's a pretty fun guy. I expect a decent amount of him. And then I guess we could talk about Zach Tom here too, the second pick in the fourth round, just because they're both offensive linemen. I mean, Zach Tom, Wake Forest, famously shut down the FSU pass rusher, Jermaine Johnson, who got drafted in the first round by the New York Jets. I mean, having these two guys compete and not only compete at right tackle with Nyman, but also right guard with Newman until, you know, Jenkins comes back, and then who knows what's going to happen when they reshuffle that line. I mean, they got talent now and they have depth. I mean, that's the one thing that they didn't have. They had a bunch of talent. Like, they were probably six, seven guys deep, but in previous years they had been nine guys deep and they've had to get down to that ninth guy before. So now they got these guys.
I liked Brian Gutekunst's comment today when I asked about, like, do you guys just only like drafting left tackles in the draft? And he was like, it's not that it's the left tackles. It's just, we love drafting superior on the offensive line. And for colleges, they typically just put their most athletic guy at left tackle. So I think we said it before. I talked about how much I like Zach Toms. The fact that he landed there, that was probably my favorite pick of the whole day, or the entire weekend, honestly. Just phenomenal player, very interesting background going from center to left tackle at Wake Forest. And he did both quite well. So he's probably going to end up, we've talked about it, probably end up being the backup center, but he absolutely has a job here. And I hope he gets an opportunity to play at some point.
Well, he's getting that roster spot, right? He's getting the roster spot. So you no longer have to roster. Who's the Oregon center? I always forget his name.
You're Jake Hansen. Oregon guy.
I know I am, but he's not very good. Jake Hansen.
Yep.
I don't count him as an Oregon player, unlike Marcus Mariota.
One of the other comments that Goody made tonight that I thought was interesting, though, is that he said a lot of the times when you're going into the draft, the Packers already have like 10 or 11 offensive linemen on the roster. He said right now they've only got like 8 or 9 coming into the draft. So clearly they needed bodies. That much was very clear. So it shouldn't really surprise anybody, I don't think, that they ended up acquiring 3 guys in the draft. We'll get to the third one later. But I think I saw this is the third year in a row that the Packers have drafted 3 offensive linemen.
Yeah, because they go with them pretty late, right?
Yeah.
And then they have a lot of these retirement stuff and
yep. Yeah. So a lot of day 3 guys last year, obviously going with the center Josh Meyer second round. He loves his big guys.
I do too. Keep 12 up. That's it. Seems like a pretty good plan of action.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of day 3, this day 3 run starts with Romeo Dubs.
Dobbs. Apparently it's Dobbs.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to mess that up for a while.
Literal pronunciation guides I've read have it 2 different ways. So I'm still very confused.
They couldn't even get it straight when they asked him straight out about it in his media availability on the conference call. Apparently though, he finally like cleared it up. It is pronounced Dobbs, but some of his friends call him Dubs, and so that got everybody all confused. But
so Dobbs. Back-to-back 1,000 yard receiver, right? We talked about him last episode as a guy that potentially they can target in day 3.
We manifested it.
They did the things we wanted them to do. This is great. I love
manifesting is no longer bullshit. It's real. We did it.
So he's got pretty good speed. I think they said that he ran like a 4.47 at his one-off pro day because he still wasn't healthy enough to participate in Nevada's. I first had thought he hadn't ran this entire spring, right? I didn't realize that until after the pick was made. He has all the size stuff that you want in Green Bay. The effort for blocking, I would say, isn't probably great, but I'm sure he'll figure it out, man. Like, he's a pretty young guy. He's a position convert too. We looked it up. He had like something like 28 rushing touchdowns at the high school level and like only 5 receptions because he played in like a weak T offense. He's going to figure it out. I mean, he's a great athlete. I wouldn't be surprised if he sees the field a little earlier than people anticipate, as long as he can prove that he can stay on the field in running downs. Right. I mean, the problem is, You probably love to have him on third downs in the same way that you'd love to have him on the field like Tonyan, right? Like just rotate him in, take Lazard off because he's obviously got more speed than Lazard. But if it sticks out like a sore thumb that every single time Dobbs is on the field that it's going to be a pass, that's going to end up hurting the team. So he's got to be able to be a little bit more consistent there.
Well, Fleur can coach that into him. That's a part of his personality is wide receivers who block, so you'll make sure he figures it out.
Yeah,
I think the other thing with him is the route tree, right? He's going to have to develop a little more complete route tree because in that air raid offense in Nevada, he's pretty much running nines most of the time.
Oh yeah, he was just like an outside specific guy.
Yeah, sure. And then doing a little bit of stuff like outside the numbers along the sideline, and that's pretty much it. So yeah, he'll have to work on some of those in breaking routes a little bit. But the Packers have done really well developing route runners over the years, so I have every confidence that they'll be able to bring him along.
To give listeners hope too, he does have a little wiggle, like in the red zone. He did a nice job of creating separation.
Yeah.
So like it's definitely there.
The skill set, right? Yeah, the athletic ability is there for sure.
He's also like is fearless. Like, I don't know how to explain that other than saying he's fearless. Like,
that,
he'll catch
that
stuff into triple coverage and like it looks like his head is going to get knocked off, and then he just like ends up stepping up perfectly fine. You're like, holy crap, this guy hauls in everything.
There's one play that you tweeted out a while back about him, and then retweeted it today saying, "You fools, you gave this guy to Aaron Rodgers." Like this ridiculous contested catch that's thrown into, you know, a window the size of a bread box over the middle between three defenders, and he hauls this in. So
we were already excited after the first two picks. Had already started up a Twitter Spaces after that and had rallied the troops into excitement. And then they come back and grab one of the steals in the draft, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinion. You look at the consensus draft board. We had looked up, who was it? Warren Sharp tweeted out a list of like the best draft picks relative to the consensus draft board. And Egnabari was third, I believe, on it. Yep. And the Packers also had another selection in the top three that we'll talk about in a little bit. But the South Carolina edge rusher was available there in the fifth round. People thought he was probably going to go in the third round, right? Like, yep, that's where the consensus was on him. Wasn't a great tester at the combine, but that's not really who he is anyway. He's a great edge setter. The fact that you could just get any depth in the fifth round on for an edge rusher is a plus. Like, we talked about this on day two, right? I mean, we kind of thought the run on edge rushers was over. I thought he was going to go pretty high, day three, but he ends up being there in the fifth. They just pick him up, and now we got a backup. And hey, a backup pass rusher in the fifth, that's perfectly fine. A lot of teams are paying those guys like $5-6 million to come off of the bench, and the Packers just save that immediately.
And they can still have room for adding a veteran. You know, we talked about the pre-draft plan. If you can get a depth edge guy and then another veteran, boom, you have a second of pass rushers. And I know that's something that they desperately need in today's NFL. So I liked Enigbari. I had a day two grade on him. So the fact that the Packers came away on day three with, I think I said 2.5 guys with day two grades. I give Enigbari a half just to try and be like a little more conservative, but man, great start to day three.
We were flying high.
Like, oh my gosh.
Round four, we were full pants off excitement, you know, after those first couple picks. And obviously there was a big break until round seven. And once you get into round seven, you're just taking lottery, you know, drawing lottery tickets on athletes, but getting three guys that I think are going to be real productive members of this team. You can't ask for much more than that on day three.
The surprise, I think, of the draft is that they did finally move around a little bit. He traded down. Goot traded down for the first time since he got that first round pick back from the New Orleans Saints. A lot of people thought, hey, the Packers aren't going to make 11 picks in the draft. They traded up. They said, hey, they're not going to make 10 picks in the draft. Not only did they make 11 picks in the draft, they made 4 picks in the seventh round, which kind of reaffirms what Mark Murphy and Goot had said this entire, you know, spring, which was the depth of this draft. Like, the money spot is in undrafted free agency in the very late rounds. Like, that's where you see that extra COVID year of eligibility really boosting these guys up. The first selection was Tariq Carpenter, who was brought in on a visit. Mind you, they drafted 6 guys, I believe,
yep,
that were in on visits. Goot had only drafted 9 previously since 2018, so visits matter now. Carpenter is a hybrid safety linebacker. He was a strong safety at Georgia Tech who played in the box a lot. He's 220 pounds, played at the Hula Bowl, did very well at the Hula Bowl, got the call up to the Senior Bowl because the Senior Bowl can't pluck away Shrine Game guys anymore because they're playing on the same week. So he gets the call up late to the Senior Bowl, I believe due to injury, does pretty well there, gets enough interest from Green Bay to bring in on a visit. They say, hey, we kind of like you. He tests super athletically, and now he's probably coming in as primarily a special teams guy who's going to help in like kickoff. He's going to help in punt protection. People are probably surprised, like, those guards and tackles and stuff on punt protection are usually like Ty Summers, because then you have, not only do you have to block for a little bit, then you have to run downfield like 40 yards. Yep. Like, they're not using offensive linemen for that. So he's probably going to help in that way. And they'll probably try to figure out some sort of way to get him on the field at defense. They said in the presser, you know, they're still looking at him as a linebacker and a defensive back. So they want their hands on him before they make the, kind of that decision.
Go ahead.
He profiles so closely to Oren Burks. Mm-hmm. The college safety sort of transitioned to linebacker, special teams stud. they're almost exactly the same size, speed, and explosiveness. The only real major difference between them athletically is that Carpenter had pretty like rough agility times, and Oren Burks was elite in terms of a change of direction skills. But that's all it is. And so, as far as you know, going down there on punt and kick coverage, he's going to be a heat-seeking missile and is going to be great. And I think Rich Bisaccia is going to be really excited to have a guy like him.
The hottest phrase you could hear in the round pick is four-phase special teamer.
we got that a couple times.
Ooh. I just want to – one other point where I'm just – because I haven't watched him on tape, but I'm totally sold. He wears a bunch of armbands. I see a guy wearing a bunch of armbands. I'm like, that guy plays football.
The next pick was Jonathan Ford out of Miami. Pretty interesting guy, right? So he was weighed in at like 330, but Miami had used him as a three technique, and he didn't test out very athletically, right? So you're thinking big guy, plays the small guy position, and is not very athletic. What's happening there? His production wasn't very good. Maybe I would guess that they're probably going to try him as a nose tackle and like look at him and Slayton, and maybe that's what gets Kenny Clark to play at DN full time. I mean, can you imagine if Slayton takes a big jump this summer and he's starting at nose tackle and we get Kenny and Wyatt at DN? That's a whole lot of athleticism. I mean, that's more athleticism than Dean brings, right? So if he could develop into that that backup nose tackle, I mean, how long did Tyler Lancaster last on this roster? Like, if he's any decent, he'll stick.
Yeah. I'm fanning myself thinking of that, honestly. I love Kenny whenever he kicks outside, man. He can be absolutely lethal. And yet Slayton showed some flashes. My concern with Slayton is just, can he stay on the field for that long?
Yeah. One of the fun things about Ford is he said he was middle school teammates with Slayton back in Florida. imagine the lunchroom at that middle school having to feed those two big boys. But he's also got another connection because Jonathan Garvin was a DN at Miami, Packers seventh round pick a year or two ago too. So he's got some connections there in Green Bay, and hopefully that'll make his transition at least off the field pretty easy.
If I were an NFL team, I think I would just pay a guy full time, hang around on the youth fields of South Florida, and just like find all the Paul Bunyan like myth stories, and like we'll just keep tabs on these guys like as they go through college and stuff like that.
Smart.
I mean, South Florida is nuts in terms of like the per capita football players. I know everyone looks at like the we do a bad job of just diagnosing regions in general, like when we consume geography, but like whenever the maps come out and are like, you know, pro NFL players per state, if you would have just like looked at South Florida, that is the richest ground in like football prospects, recruits, whatever you want to call them, in the world by far.
No question.
Recent MVP out of there, Lamar Jackson.
Yes, sir. The next pick was Rashid Walker, another guy that they brought in on a visit, the offensive tackle out of Penn State. He played left tackle for them. Very much a tools guy who definitely does not have like the consistency. Was talked about as a guy who, you know, could go round three, could go round four. This was actually, I believe, on Warren Sharp's list was the highest or the best selection in terms of like where he went versus where he was projected to go in the entire draft. And this is one of the reasons why you're probably going to see the Packers with, you know, A and B grades when everyone does their like instant reaction grading every team in the league for their draft stuff. So it's exciting. I mean, he's probably you look just from like a numbers perspective, right? He's probably going to battle like Cole Van Lennon for a roster spot. He's not promised a roster spot just because he got drafted, and maybe he does make a practice squad and that's what he does need. And maybe he doesn't make the team until next year or something like that. But it's nice to have him, you know, at least in camp at the very least.
Yeah. For a seventh round pick, that's not bad at all. My comp for him was literally Jason Spriggs. And I think they obviously overdrafted Jason Spriggs, but a practice squad version of that, I don't hate. My problem is like, honestly, I had a day three. So I thought he got drafted about where he should have been because he always ends up on his ass. Like he has some real balance problems.
Not always. There's the one video where somebody else ends up in his ass. And he does a couple of nice little thrusts on the ground too.
That's true. He also doesn't do a great job of handling inside pass rush moves, I've noticed. So yeah, that's where the Jason Spriggs comp came for me. Like super tools, he even struggles with some of these things. But yeah, for the seventh round pick, you know, if he can develop, that's phenomenal.
The good news is what we need like two airplane crashes and four bus crashes before Walker has to play tackle for the Packers. Like, this is the spot that he could actually like learn and develop, and there's like no pressure. So
the Yosh Nyman effect.
Exactly.
100%. The last pick that the Packers made, Samori Toure, the wide receiver out of Nebraska. We had talked about him this entire process too. Is going to be a gunner, is going to be a wide receiver. He came from Montana, was an FCS All-American there, transferred to Nebraska for his final year, started 9 games. Fun guy. I mean, very athletic. The fact that, I mean, after the Watson pick, right, on day after day two, Goot said, you know, we're not settled at the wide receiver position. And people were like, okay, maybe they might draft one more wide receiver or add one more veteran. They drafted two more. So this is officially like Amari Rodgers. You need to earn a roster spot. Like, you could get cut.
Yep. I did not watch him on tape, but literally right before this podcast, I watched a 5-minute YouTube highlight, and now I'm convinced Samori Toure is the greatest receiver on the roster.
I told you, I watched him at Montana a couple of times because
he's fun. Boy.
He's not bad. He's not bad. He can make this team. I'm telling you guys.
Another triple dip at receiver too. It's the second time Goody's done it in his drafts. He did it in all three, you know, day three picks in 2018. I had a feeling with those 4 7th round picks that they were going to take a guy like Toure or like a Kevin Austin or an Isaiah Weston. Both of those guys ended up going undrafted and have signed elsewhere. But between those three guys, you could give me any one of those and I would have been perfectly happy just based on the tools.
So vibe check. I want to give a recap. Day one, we were at like a 7. After day two, because of the trade up, we're at like a 5. I'm at a 10, full 10 out of 10 now. Like, this was a great draft. This day three is exactly like what you hope your team does on day three. They grabbed all the guys who were dropping. They grabbed the athletic guys who like fit what they need. They grabbed the athletic guys that they brought in on visits and are going to help on special teams. Outside of the Ford pick, because the Ford pick seems kind of weird. Outside of that, I'm happy with every single one of them. I wouldn't change a damn thing.
I'm going 9 because the trade is going to annoy me. Even if it works out. Even if it works out and Christian Watson is the greatest. But like, just, it's going to be flicking at my ear.
Yeah, I'm with you. It'll nag at me for a little while. But no, as far as Saturday goes, I'm absolutely 10 out of 10. No question about it.
Saturday in a vacuum.
Saturday alone, 10 out of 10.
15 out of 10.
Saturday is why the Packers are going to be ranked like A's, B's, whatever it is in these post-draft grades.
Yeah, and as much as I love Dubs, and that was the one that we manifested, and as much as we know that Zach Tom was the platonic ideal of a Green Bay Packers offensive lineman, it's really Enagbare that seals the deal. Yes. It's because you needed an edge. And because you got such great value with him at the end of round 5, that's what really pushes it over the top.
So let's talk about this draft and how it unfolded a little bit, because there's two positions they didn't hit that I am kind of surprised by, right?
Yeah.
Not corner necessarily, because they're so stacked in terms of the guys who are actually going to play, right? Like, even there's an injury. Shamar John Charles is probably going to come off of the bench and he's going to play in the slot. He was a draft pick last year. That shouldn't be surprising to anyone, right? They brought in another guy from the Raiders, Nixon, who's going to be a kind of like special teams ace type of guy. So defensive back isn't that shocking. I just thought that they would have added at least one more body, especially at safety. The other one is tight.
You were no safety guy, though.
I was no safety guy. I know. Spaces, I was like, it's Tyson Anderson time. Like, as soon as the 5th round hit.
Yeah, you were no safeties through like the first 3 or 4 rounds.
Yeah. Belton went in the 4th, and that hurt me because I thought Belton was going to be the sneaky Packers 7th round pick. Like, no one paid attention to his FCS film before he jumped up to Iowa and just killed it in the slot and special teams. But the Giants ended up taking him, unfortunately, and he's going to probably do really well under Wink there with the Giants. But the other position is tight end. I mean, they didn't add a single guy. I thought, you know, 4th round, there was potential for Ferguson. The Cowboys drafted him a couple picks before they were on the clock in the 4th. And then the other guy we had talked about the entire time, like the ace in the back pocket, was going to be a Fitzpatrick out of Georgia, the Y, who's just, you know, he's a blocking tight end, but he's a very good blocking tight end. I thought they were going to grab him He ends up going in the sixth round to the Atlanta Falcons. They don't have a sixth round pick because they spent it, or they spent their fifth round pick on Kingsley and Igbari, which is totally fine, but that's kind of a bummer. I thought they were going to be able to grab him. So they don't have a single one. And not to spoil the undrafted free agency talk, but they haven't added one in undrafted free agency either. So they're sitting pretty.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Brian Gutekunst said that he does like the guys that they have in that room right now. He mentioned Tyler Davis specifically as a guy that he thinks can take a step and maybe give them something as a true Y. I don't know. You know, I don't know how much you project an undrafted guy like that who
he had
off a Jaguars practice squad, right?
He had four receptions last year.
I forgot he existed.
Yeah,
he had
name, and I was like, that can't be the right name. I thought you were talking about a completely different position. I was like, holy shit, Tyler Davis exists.
He had that one great catch up the seam late in the season, but that was like the only thing that he did all year.
Yeah, and he had zero as a rookie with the Jaguars. So, I mean, he's seen more of him in practice than we're seeing in games, right? I think we talked about that in season about Tyler Davis, people asking us questions. I'm like, how would we know? I'm like, just being frank, like, how would we know? Georgia Tech, you know, he transferred in there to get some playing time, and then from Kentucky or from Connecticut, and then he didn't play with the Jags, and then he didn't do much pass catching with the Packers. So if anyone has any, you know, thoughts on that, it's probably the coaching staff and the general manager, and those are the only people who have access to that film. So
yep,
fair maybe point. He will be. But in terms of undrafted free agents, what I thought was interesting, one, again, not only these are the same positions, right? They didn't add a safety, they haven't added a tight end. That's really interesting to me. I mean, is they rostered five safeties pretty much the entire season last year. If they sit with five right now, that means there's going to be no cuts. It's going to be Amos, Savage, Vernon Scott, Sean Davis, and Ennis Gaines.
That's very, yeah, that is a little surprising. I want to talk about the one UDFA that actually got me fired up, and that's Tyler Goodson at Iowa.
Yep. Yeah.
So I didn't watch a ton of running backs, mostly because I didn't expect the Packers to get anyone. But like, one guy, whenever I watched Iowa, I really enjoyed was Goodson, because he is, like, you know, a smaller back, but you know, when I see him, he's a perfect third down back, you know, a guy with a little wiggle, can catch passes back. He had caught 31 passes last year, so that's nice. I'm rooting for him. I think, you know, the Packers, for as deep as their running back room is, they lack that third down back kind of guy. So would really like to see if, you know, if Goodson can make the roster.
Wow, this is Kylan Hill erasure.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's,
well,
that's,
we don't know when he's coming back, to be fair.
That's,
yeah, fair. Yeah. That's because, yeah, he blew his ACL on that hit in the Cardinals game, which was like late October.
Same day as Robert Tonyan.
Yeah. So I mean, if he were to be ready for the start of training camp, that would be like a 9-month recovery time, which is pretty accelerated. So
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's a, you know, maybe he's another pup candidate to start the year on that list and kind of work himself back in. And maybe that does give Goodson a chance to,
I mean, it's only one injury away at that point, right? Someone gets dinged up in a preseason game and he makes the roster.
Yeah. Oh, and we know Patrick Taylor's had injury issues for, you know, for the last couple of years. So there's no guarantee there with him too. So no, I think that's easily the top guy on the Packers undrafted free agent list that I'm excited about as well.
Not Caleb Jones.
Yeah, you've got takes on Indiana offensive lineman Caleb Jones. The tweet that brought him to my attention was just tremendous. Shout out to Matthew Goinatsky on Twitter, who says that he is the closest thing to the how high would you draft a bear argument. Because the guy is 6'9" and 370 pounds, and he basically moves like he's a pylon. He can't move.
He had a 20-inch vertical or he had a 21-inch vertical. Paul, who writes for us and is not young, jumped to 20. So he's got lawyer hops.
I don't Jones. I think he's gonna have a hard time getting even on the practice squad. He was very bad for IU. I think I don't want to be mean, but I think he got Penix hurt at least once.
The one guy, you know, again, Galco hopped in our Twitter spaces, talked about some of these East-West Shrine Game guys. George Moore from Oregon, he said he played, you know, left and right side. He played guard and tackle. We looked up his agility scores. It's generally pretty good, like what the Packers look at, you know, athletically. So if there was one guy on the offensive line that you tab as, like, this guy might make, like, the practice squad or has maybe the chance to sneak in at the end of the roster, I think it's pretty hard for a guy to do that in the situation that he's in. But, like, at least practice squad, I would say him. The wide receivers they drafted, or they brought in just two giant dudes. One, Anthony Turner from a school, like, I don't even know. It's like Grandview or something. It's an NAI school.
Was it Grand Valley?
No, it wasn't Grandview.
Oh, geez.
That's what I thought. I thought it was Grand Valley. And I'm like, oh, that's a D2 powerhouse. And they're like, no, Grandview in Iowa. It's an NAI school.
There's a suburb of Columbus called Grandview. That's the only frame of reference that I have.
And then a Kiki Chisholm from Missouri. These are both massive dudes. LaFleur just has, he really is a size queen. Like, he will not roster a guy who's not like 6'3", 215 pounds. He won't do it. You can't make him.
Is he overcompensating for his own height? I love LaFleur to death. Don't get me wrong, but I don't mean to be mean to LaFleur. That man can do whatever he wants, but
I will say that
he doesn't need to be tall. Like, it's like actors, right? They're all 5'8".
Yeah, exactly.
The Packers did get some great names in the undrafted free agent class, though.
Amazing.
Chauncey Manak, Raleigh Tejada, Hawati Putuatau, and Kiki Kism. Like, that's an all
you didn't NFL even go name with, team. Khalif Bryce.
I didn't. Yeah, I forgot about Khalif Bryce
and Akil Byers. You're missing some. Yeah,
they got a safety, Trey Sterling.
Okay, they did get it. Yeah, just that one just came down about 5 minutes ago. Oklahoma State safety.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I remember when I was trying to turn on some Oklahoma State tape during, I think it was Big 12 championship, something like that. A lot of people were saying to watch him. I did not. I got obsessed with I watched Baylor's Jalen Petrie, and that game, it was game over.
He's interesting. He must have gotten hurt in 2021 because he was a full year starter in 2019 and 2020. I had 70 tackles each of those two seasons. In 20, he had two picks, took one back for a touchdown. 2019, he had 8 pass breakups and an interception. So sounds like he's got some ball skills. Be interesting to see where, you know, we'll have to see if we can find his testing numbers at some point and see where he matches up.
The one guy who I was excited about didn't end up coming to Green Bay. And this wasn't me hoping someone would sign. It was reported he had signed Glenn Logan, the defensive lineman out of LSU. He runs a sub-5 40 yep. yard dash, is a big defensive tackle. He played at like 330, but then slimmed down to like just south of 300 pounds for the pro day. Those are incredible numbers for a guy that big. And I was like, wow, this guy might end up making the roster. He ends up getting stolen by the Browns, who gave him, you know, $60,000 guaranteed, which is not insignificant for an undrafted free agent. Like, that you go do that. Like, if you're an agent and you tell a player to turn down that much guaranteed money as an undrafted free agent, you're doing a bad job. So I don't blame him for it. I was just excited to have him, and then he was ripped away. That's interesting that they added a safety. So now they have, I believe, 7. So 7 of the 14 guys are now on the defensive side. They have 89 guys on the roster. So there should be one more undrafted free agent that should be coming up at some point soon. The roster numbers are kind of interesting. Again, they still only have 5 safeties, or now they have 6 safeties, but that still seems a little light. They have 13 wide receivers, which is a laughably large. To put that in perspective, they have 15 offensive linemen, which is the only position that they have more than 9 at. The nines are defensive line and linebacker. They have damn near like 1.5 times that for wide receivers. It's going to be hunger games for these wide receivers in camp. How are they going to have, like, Rodgers isn't going to throw in camp, right? He's not showing up to OTAs. Benkert's arm is going to fall off. How's he going to throw to this many guys? LaFleur is going to be out there in the sling.
Yeah, you've got Jordan Love, you've got Kurt Benkert, and Danny Etling is still on the roster as a QB4 for the offseason.
And Etling's a quarterback / wide receiver. Didn't like the Falcons or something have him out at wide receiver?
Oh, gosh.
That guy played wide receiver? Isn't he a big, slow quarterback?
He's faster than you think.
He had the preseason run, right, with the Patriots?
He had the long pass run. And then I think he stuck with
the Falcons as a wideout at some point after like they drafted Mac Jones and they had like stick him there. Very weird career for Danny Etling for sure.
Because he was a Purdue guy for a while and then he transferred to LSU, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's worn many hats.
This guy just bounces around the country. He's never bought a house in his life. There's no chance he's ever gonna have the chance. He's just going country to country. Like, oh no. They have 5 special teamers. That's still funny. I can't
believe 3 kickers.
Yeah, they have 3 kickers. But like Mason's gonna make the team because Aaron likes him. I don't get what we're doing with the kickers.
Unless Mason retires randomly in the middle of the offseason. I mean, yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm sure these numbers will change at some point. I would expect the wide receiver numbers to go down, or they're going to have to tap Chris Blair on the shoulder and say, like, hey, look, you're a great kid, but I don't think you're making this team. They're going to have their rookie tryout soon. I'm sure they'll bring up, like, 1 or 2 guys from that. They always seem to, so.
Yeah, Chris Blair and Rico Gafford are as good as gone. I feel like those are the two you probably let loose for tryout guys in the next 2 weeks.
They get DMP'd before the Hunger Games even start. I think that's how that one works out. But these are our Green Bay Packers. How are we feeling? This is a good team. Still kind of worried about, you know, the youth of the wide receivers, but at least we have a lot of them now.
There's tools in that room, right? That's what you didn't necessarily feel good about coming into yesterday, basically. Nobody questions Christian Watson's tools. There was Jim Nagy tweeted out that Archon just found this too and put in the Slack that the max speeds measured at Senior Bowl. Christian Watson was 5th at 20.7 miles per hour. Romeo Dobbs was 2nd at 21.25 miles per hour. Guy can move. That's gonna be fun.
Run.
There's some wheels in that room now. And I think we've sufficiently addressed the question of where's this team going to replace the speed that MVS had and that deep threat ability. Cause you got three guys with Toure who can, I think all 3 of those guys can do it.
And not to go back to the trade fully, but one thing that does help me just move on from trading those 2 second round picks for Watson is the fact they were able to still get Egbinabari in the 5th. Right.
Yep.
And we talked about that in isolation, but one of the big things that I did not like about moving out of those 2 second round picks is because of how deep the edge class was in the second round. And it's not like a normal class. Like there were guys like the Lions got Paschal. We're about to have to deal with Paschal for the next like 8 years. He's a good player. They could have gotten a guy like that. If they would have stuck with their picks, they could have gotten someone like Drake Jackson who just got drafted by the San Francisco 49ers. But the fact that they could get Egbinabari there, I think eases my worries, because that's the big worry I had going into day 3. We know they can draft offensive linemen. We know that they go after wide receivers with speed, but the fact that they were actually able to get an edge rusher in the 5th, which like never happens, was the big one.
I do want to say, hot take, I do think considering all the picks they got on an already stacked defense, if this stays healthy, this is probably one of the best units in football. And growing up a Packers fan, I can't conceptualize that. Like that
3 corners, 2 linebackers, first time in my life.
And defensive linemen.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Man. That's always sort of been the weird thing the last couple of years, is it feels like the defense has always been less than the sum of its parts. This is the year that needs to change, because the sum of its parts feels really freaking good right now. So if you can at least just get up to that level, the talent level on this defense is definitely higher than it has been at any point since probably 2009. I mean, back when that was a number one, number two defense in Capers' first year with Clay and Raji, and then, you know, Chuck Woodson's DPOI year. That's sort of the gold standard for me in this recent, you know, 3-4 era, this last like 15 years or so. So the talent level now is as good as it's ever been, you know, since that point.
Let's say it. I'm not scared. Super Bowl.
Get fitted.
Get that ring fitted. All right. Any parting thoughts, guys?
I just want to say this. Go for it. No.
Congrats to Adam Stenovich, probably the happiest guy in Green Bay.
And I just want to say, this is my first time going through a draft year with you guys and some of the people that we've added at Accurate Packing Company over the last several months. And it has just been a freaking blast. This has been an awesome couple months, couple weeks leading up to this. And then these last few days have been fantastic. Thanks to everyone who's reading the site, who participated in the Twitter spaces. That's definitely going to be something that we're going to do a lot more of moving forward, because that was really good. And thank you to you guys for adding so much to the whole environment at Acme and for everything that you guys have done these last several weeks. It's been great.
I think we kind of killed it, guys. I appreciate that text, though, for real. I've really enjoyed talking ball with you guys. It's probably been the most fun. I've worked in a lot of places doing sports writing. This has been my favorite group of people.
Blessed. And our next project is what? Figuring out the last UDFA and then which tryout guys make the jump to the roster. Keep it tuned to Agri Packing Company. We're gonna have to fill the site with something.
Yeah, I already got a plan, man. I'm gonna do film study on each prospect, like one a week throughout the off season, to the point you're gonna be like, the draft was months ago, dude. What are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm watching Rashid Walker tape.
It's good. That'll take us right up to training camp. It'll be perfect.
Nailed it. All right, guys. Keep it tuned to the feed. Leave a review if you enjoyed us this season. Keep it tuned to the site. We're gonna do Twitter spaces more often. Probably not till at least camp, but it's coming. It's coming.
Or if they sign Julio.
Oh, content machine.